You are listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, episode 41 for February 2010.
Seems I've yet to find my place. I'm guarding 2814. I don't know why it's chosen me. From the corner of my eye, I catch a glimpse of evil light. If fear tries to swallow me, like I'm just some guy with an emerald. Free capacity 90.1. Free capacity 79. Free capacity 69.
And now, the host of the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, Frankie Mateo.
This Green Lantern Spotlight for February 2010. Welcome, everyone, to today's session of the Green Lantern Spotlight and the premier spot to acquire a bit of insight such as, why is Kuhn Han not here? Also, be aware of our sponsor site, thegreenlanterncore.com, a humble place to discuss all sorts of Green Lantern-related news and rumors. Remember, that's thegreenlanterncore.com. I'm your host, Frank Mateo, formerly known as Rainer2814. We have with us Brandon West. Brandon, you are the create co-webmaster of the... Damn it, I'm all messed up now.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
The Jean-Claude Van Damme website. No, I'm trying to get... We have with us Brandon West, the co-webmaster of the hit site, the speedster site, .proboards.com. Brandon, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Also, we have Kuhan. Kuhan, the creator of the Real View Mirror podcast. How you doing, Kuhan?
I think Kuhan left the building.
Oh, son of a bitch! Alright, whatever. And, oh my god, we lost Kuhan.
Answer, Frenchie.
What the fuck? And we have Muzard. Muzard, who calls people Frenchies. Muzard?
I love me some French fries, boy. Mm-mm.
And we also have Eric joining us.
I also like French fries.
And we also have the ever-present sponsor himself, the founder of thegreenlanterncore.com, Andrew NDB. Andrew, how are you, sir?
I enjoy seasoned fries myself.
Do you like
those curly fries from Arby's?
Yes, I actually do.
I like the regular fries from Rally's.
Yeah. So today, you have come and joined us on this special episode, the episode of when DC decided to do a giant marketing ploy. And to pretty much resurrect all their pretty much canceled books from seasons past.
You know, they could have made a very good promo by giving a black ring with each one of those comics.
You know, it actually would have been a better promo. To either get a black ring or some sort of special. I mean, something else outside of just, you know, seeing titles of former books that once meant something to somebody at the time.
Hollowed out shells of work that we used to respect.
Yeah, because, you know, me spending $2.99 on Starman or $2.99 on The Atom and Hogman, The Phantom Stranger, Weird Western Tales, because Dan DeDio wanted to bring it out.
Well, I really liked the idea before I knew the stories were going to suck.
Yeah.
We got
Yeah, because you know what,
Hex. We just got to.
Oh yeah, technically, from what we saw, we didn't really need it. I mean, how long did we have Jonah Hex for? What, 2 pages?
That's kind of sad. That hurt me.
I was supposed to be a big surprise. Yeah, exactly.
He should have been the star of the whole issue.
I think that's just Dan DiDio's acknowledging that he's terrible, and he's like, I don't want to be a dick. If I just put this guy at the back of the issue, it won't hurt him as much.
Harsh.
Yeah, all right, so concept aside, it was a good idea when we heard about it. Like, how long ago now? I mean, it was when did we first hear about it? About what? Three months ago?
November, something like that.
Yeah, about 3 months ago, something like that. Yeah, I'd say, you know, it was a good idea, you know, hearing that their DC's giant marketing ploy was to, you know, resurrect dead books, you know, and their giant, you know, resurrection of heroes, you know, gone by. You know, and it was cool. It was like, you know, it was a little something for, you know, to catch everybody's attention, you know, during the two-thirds into the Blackest Night. It wasn't a bad concept. It wasn't properly executed.
Not at all.
I don't think they picked enough of a spread of different eras of canceled books.
You might have something.
I would like to have seen...
I would have liked to have seen, like, Azrael number 101 or a couple of others, too.
I think era-wise, they hit it on the nail. I mean, they got Adam and Hawkman, a title I never knew existed. then Weird Western Tales, Question. They hit most of the eras. I just think it's kind of hard to diversify when it's all superhero books.
You know, it's very hard. It's very hard to diversify, seeing that they're all actually being, you know, taking place during Blackest
Night.
Right. So technically, you know, technically the writing itself. I mean, it's cool seeing the cover again. You know, seeing the, you know, our old favorite, like, you know, headers on books. Right. But then reading inside has something to do with your old favorite books, or, you know, or lack thereof for favorite books. But they all have to do with the giant tie into, you know, Blackest Night, and they're all pretty much just one shots. We're never going to see these books again. It's not like, you know, it's not like, you know, the, you know, the giant spread of, you know, Resurrection that's going on with DC. I'm never going to see Weird Western Tales number 72, or Power Shazam number 49. Yeah. I'm never going to see anything. You know, it's not going to be like this. It's not a permanent thing. It was just, you know, one giant, you know, money making scheme. Yeah. Basically,
I think actually, what I mean, I don't know. Maybe I felt like what was cool about it was starting the numbers again and stuff. And I think that was, it's really a missed opportunity on DC's part to do something really, really cool. Like Weird Western Tales, why couldn't we have gotten an anthology? You know, why do we have to get one horrible story, you know?
Sure.
I mean, in certain things, like, obviously, like, the Catwoman was awful, awful, awful. I mean, I liked, there's a few of them I kind of liked. I mean, I think I'm not going to get into which ones. I guess we'll talk about it specifically in a minute. But it just, I feel like everything could have been really intrinsic to the actual title it was continuing, and most of it wasn't.
You know, that's how I felt about it when I first heard about it. Like, I wanted it to have something to do with, at the moment of the book being canceled, it was going to have something to do with
something.
It.
Something. Some of them seemed to make an effort to do so, because even the terrible ones kind of went out of their way to reference things that had happened in the series that they were a part of, but not appropriately, I guess.
What would you say?
I was just going to say that I think it really hurts, because I really, really, really want a Question series, and for them to bring it back for a one-shot, and it's not out as of this recording, but it's just like, oh, wow, Renee gets to star in one issue when she deserves her own series. Like, the Question is such an easy book to give to the masses because it's so different. It's a mystery book, and you don't get that in superhero books, and it's like, oh, well, we're going to get this convoluted story of Black Lanterns that's going to have zero ties to the last, 30-something issues?
36.
Yeah, and it's like, no, it's a waste. It's just a big waste. And
yeah, I mean, I agree. The question issue hasn't come out yet, but it's written by Greg Rucka, right?
Right, it is.
So it's possible.
And I think it's Rucka and O'Neill, actually, but I don't think it's going to have any ties to whatever Vic was doing in the last 30 issues.
Yeah, why would they tie into something when they bring back the writer? I mean, jeez.
No, I think it has a good potential to do something. I don't know. When it comes out, we'll see, I guess. No point in speculating.
I mean, if nothing else, at least you're getting the second feature in Detective for
It's not the same stuff.
You know, I think actually I kind of like the last few miniseries they put out for the Questions. Completely different direction for the Question. It has nothing to do with what they were doing with the Question, the Renee Question.
Five Books of Blood.
Yeah, with the Crime Bible and Revelations.
Revelations.
And I like those. And I think this question is working as kind of like its little mini series popping up now and then to bring her story along a little more. And they're good because they're self-contained, and they have the endings have been definitive enough that I don't – like after reading Five Books of Blood, that was a good enough ending that I didn't need to really hear from Renee for a couple of years, you know. And then same thing with Revelations. And at least – I think honestly, at least giving this one shot out and having her be a backup in Detective Comics, and probably the clout that Detective Comics has because it's such a popular series now that you're getting more exposure to her than you would normally, because
on her own series, yeah,
nothing to complain about there.
Mm. That's sad with the first one that's in front of me, The Phantom Stranger.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, the art was pretty bad. The story wasn't very well thought out.
What are you gonna say?
I don't think the art was bad. I thought this was probably the best Artian has done that I've seen.
Yeah, I
like this a lot. Art-wise, a lot better than Blackest Night Batman. Story was terrible. Oh, God, that story was terrible. What's so terrible about it?
Yeah.
What was the point? Why were the Black Lanterns trying to get into...
Ramakrishna?
Or the other name for
Mountain
it?
Combat.
There we go.
How do you pronounce it again?
Nanda Parbat.
Nanda Parbat. I mean, everybody's been trying to get into that place for the past, like, 4 years now. Rachel Ghul.
Raz, whatever.
No, Rachel Ghul. I say Batman animated series way, not Batman movie.
Yeah. Actually, I think that was a good idea. I think it's just, I don't know, I feel like...
I mean, one of the most spiritual places in DC's map would be, you know, Nanda Parbat. I mean, the Black Lantern should be actually going after that place.
Wouldn't Necron want to destroy the balance so, like, life goes away?
This spiritual equal emotion, is that what y'all are getting out of this? Because that's not what I got out of it.
It's kind of a, I don't know, they don't really get into it, but it's a Lee line on Earth. I mean, it's a really important spot for the DC universe. So it makes sense he'd go after it. It makes more sense than going after Coast City.
It'd make more sense if they alluded to that in the story, but they didn't, and they essentially just said, Black Lanterns are attacking us.
Well, they implied that, and Phantom Stranger gets, I mean, it really seems silly that he spends the whole issue trying to rescue Deadman. And I mean, like page 80, he's like, "Oh, what's more important than Spectre's dead man right now?" It's really like.
I like how he said, "You are the most important piece of this puzzle."
So I think they're trying to imply something, and Tomasi wrote it, so you know he's kind of got some kind of idea what's going on. But
I would hope so.
I wouldn't put it past Geoff Johns to have dead man, you know, not be in Black Knight at all, but then show up at the end to save the day. Not save the day, but be involved in the convoluted way of saving the day, however it's going to happen.
He'll just be a piece of the puzzle.
He could just take over Necron, like self-destruct him.
Well, here's my thing.
Some contrivance will pop up.
Well, he can stab his own Black Lantern.
Yeah, and I think, and keeping with Tomasi's like track record, I think there's some pretty cool bits in this issue. I liked, I think it was cool that Deadman was going into bodies ripping himself apart. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but it was cool. And I think I like that Deadman fought Deadman to take him over, but that it took place in the cloak. It was kind of interesting. I just think that was a cool way.
Yeah, that was a weird looking little page.
Yeah.
Weird.
The cloak.
When he hopped into his body?
When they were wrapped together and it was just this bumpy figure. Yeah.
It kind of disturbed me, but in a good way.
as a non-fan of Phantom Stranger, I thought it was like a little weird when we saw him jump into his body and we saw the origin of him.
The multiple origin.
Yeah.
The multiple choice origin.
And as someone who
A, B, C, or D.
Have nothing to do with Phantom Stranger, know nothing about him, I just assumed that all this took place in his previous history.
All three were true.
yeah,
he was the fallen angel, the wandering Jew, and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I guess that can work.
And when he said, you know everything and nothing at the same time, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure he knows everything. So when somebody pointed that out to me, I thought, okay, so it does make for a little bit better story than I initially thought, but it was still pretty much a mess to me. Just wasn't my thing.
Wasn't your thing?
Yeah. I don't know. I
will say, you know, I didn't dislike the issue. I mean, it started and ended on the same note. He's a stranger, just comes and does something and then leaves. I mean, that's what the Phantom Stranger was from, like, you know, from the beginning of his character, I guess. He was just, you know, he shows up to right a wrong and then leaves after the wrong has been righted, I guess.
Yeah, very dark.
I mean, he
is the continuum transfunctioner. His power is only exceeded by his mystery, which is only exceeded by his power.
Well, he is. As a fan of the Phantom Stranger, I think he's kind of, I'm not a huge fan. He's kind of cool. You can't really do a lot with him as a character because he's kind of like the Spectre, but not proactive. You know, because he kind of has demonstrated, like, infinite abilities before, but then sometimes he's just, like, a regular magician. So he's kind of just DC standard. So he kind of had to put – I mean, I feel like the only reason they stuck him in here is because he's the standard for DC to poke into one of these events. I just don't think – I don't know. I mean, it was all right. It just kind of seemed like a regular run-of-the-mill adventure that Tomasi pumped out in 5 minutes. I like Nanda Parbat because I think Nanda Parbat's a cool idea. They don't use enough in DC.
True. I mean, I would have honestly said – you know, if there was going to be police anywhere, it would have been better in Nanda Parbat rather than Coast City. I think they only used this Coast City landscape because they wanted to have, you know, that whole, you know, dark city feel when buildings were being destroyed.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. The Adam and Hawkman.
I didn't
read
this
issue.
Can I
just say I was actually really bothered that he calls Jean Loring a crazy bitch. It seems really hostile.
He calls her a crazy bitch and then says, I just feel sad for you. Wait, didn't you just call her a crazy bitch?
It seems overly hostile.
He got the compassion thing.
He said it the very next sentence after he says you were just one crazy bitch. I feel sad for you.
Oh no, he's a passionate man.
He's very passionate.
Well, I think also, and you know, he's supposed to be compassionate, and yet again, he calls her a crazy bitch.
Yeah, they're not doing a very good job of really selling us on him being compassionate. We have to overlook cry for justice and like squeezing people's brains and stuff like that, and now it's and bursting out of people's guts, and now it's on top.
I think John had this plan, and then he saw Cry for Justice, and he was like, oh, fuck it, whatever.
Well, I think they spend the first three pages explaining, I think they're trying to justify that he's compassionate, but then they seem to forget that they're actually doing the exact opposite, and then the tail end of like, oh, because you have empathy for her. It's like, no, I mean, it looks like he keeps retreating from the world every time he's confronted with these horrible situations, but...
I don't see the compassion here.
Yeah, I mean, empathy is not even the same thing as compassion,
like
but it's not even
angry.
Empathy.
He seems like angry because he's.
Yeah. He seems angry and distraught. I really don't think that's compassion.
He's passive aggressive. He seems what's it called?
He's a recluse.
I mean, you can see him there on page 3, like no.
It's like killing a lot of people.
Yeah, my favorite panel is. Oh no, it's Ray. That's awesome.
Question. How was the art? I know. Silk. He didn't
finish, Ryan
did
Sook's
he?
Art.
Drew half, and then Fernando passed the last half.
Was it good?
Yeah, so it was good overall. I think Ryan Sook is kind of getting really amazing.
He is amazing.
No, yeah, he used to be a Mike Mignola clone, and then I guess he discovered that he can draw very, very well besides that. So I really like the stuff he's been putting out. And the fact that like he draws Adam in these tiny pictures with an insane amount of detail, and it always looks great. And there's one splash page he does, that one splash page, the big splash page, where all the Hawks are in front and you see the lanterns fighting, the Spectre in the background and stuff.
Yeah, I see it.
That was cool. It could have been a little more could have been going on, but that was actually a really cool splash page, and you never get to see anything like that. I mean, any other splash, I think if it was a Mankey splash page, you would have had it really, really heavy on the right side and then not really quite sure why it's a splash page, but that really worked.
They only gave me like four, like let's say like two pages with a lot of Hawks in it, just to make up for the fact that there weren't enough Hawks in this book
at all. Yeah,
because there's just because you know Wes hadn't read it. There's one page when Ray burns the Hawks with like you know with fire using like rage. Well, no, wait, that's after Indigo One does it. The other Hawks, the ones that were inside the central power battery for the Star Sapphire, are flying over them, and then Ray tries to summon the willpower through his compassion ring, but summons greed instead because he's a greedy person apparently, and attacks and makes constructs of Hawkman and Hawkgirl to fight ancient alien Sierra Hall and Carter Hall from inside of the central power battery with Star Sapphires. It's a lot of Hawks going on.
It wasn't because he was greedy. It was because he was trying to focus on the nearest lantern, and he
No. It's not that. None of that. Not that at all. That's he was just greedy because he wanted his friends back.
Maybe. I guess I didn't look at it like that, but I mean, maybe you're right. Let me see.
And maybe you're horribly wrong.
No. Because the way everything's going, that's what's the emotion he was summoning. Because at the point, you start, if you read the... If you look at everything that's happened, there isn't even an explanation when he says, you know what, he was jealous of their love because his love wasn't easy. Like, his love didn't go anywhere. His girlfriend turned out to be a crazy psychopath. While Carter Hall and you know, Hawkman and Hawk Girl, they were like, you know what, they love each other. Sue Dimney and Ralph Dimney were like, oh, we love each other. I got the raw end of the stick.
Yeah, well, I think that's the idea that the issue is trying to get across. I think Frankie's got a point is why whether or not it's intentional or not, I think the issue trying to get across is the reason he is, quote-unquote, a compassionate character is because he runs the emotional spectrum, so he can kind of understand where everyone's coming from. That's not quite what John's just showing here. He's just kind of showing that he's bipolar or whatever the deal is, that he's got thousands of emotions all going at the same time. It's not quite the same thing as compassion, but the idea is supposed to be, you know, that he's compassionate, so you understand what he's going through. And
he was compassionate at the time, and then he went through all this shit and he got pissed off.
And my big problem was, what is – Jean Loring has every power? I mean, I know she was Eclipso, but she's not
anymore. Eclipso was the Spectre's previous role. Powerful.
But she's not Eclipso. And like when she died, she wasn't Eclipso. She wouldn't really have Eclipso powers. And she brings him back in time, but obviously he's not really back in time. And then does she have the power of illusions? When did Jean Loring get this ability?
Yeah, because she's not Eclipso anymore, yet the ring is mimicking these powers.
If we don't count her as Eclipso, then she has no real powers.
Yeah, but that's the weird thing. They bet, just for the benefit of the story, they say she has Eclipso's power because of the ring. But yet, the Spectre does nothing.
I think it's just a case of everybody getting random-ass powers once they're a Black Lantern, which, you know, goes into Catwoman, how that happens in Catwoman, where Black Mask is flying around, blasting people.
It's just like Ralph Dibny with the stretchy powers without drinking any crap or whatever it is.
So let's talk about like the end of it where she sends all the purple guys across the universe to save the day, and one of them shows up on Oa, and Guy Gardner looks fine.
Yeah, he does.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's true. On Oa, Homeworld of the Green Lantern Corps, there's a panel.
No, it's not Guy. It's not Guy.
No, that's Guy.
That's Guy.
No, it's not. That's white boots. can't be Guy.
And they got the battery back up.
Yeah, it looks like everything gets solved in that storyline. I mean, I knew it was, but thanks for the heads up. I mean, it could just be the idea being like, he's showing up at some point during the battle, don't worry about it. But we can see whatever the other guy's name is, I forget.
yeah, what is that other guy's name?
Not Ikko.
Like, other guy? Like,
isn't it Nock? Yeah.
I think that means like yes or something.
You mean Monk?
Nock also means, Muck? Muck, that's right.
Yeah. Muck.
Muck's there. Muck. So yeah, they definitely show everybody fine and the battery up, so... I'm glad we don't have to read that issue of Green Lantern Corps. You know what happened.
we all knew it was going to happen anyway.
But still, I didn't need to be told. That's, again, confusion about, I mean, for all I know, Guy could have died. They could have killed Guy.
Jeff wrote this issue, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
For all we know, Mogo could have just pulled him into his corps like you burned too, bitch.
More likely when Jeff wrote the script, he more than likely wrote that. And then we have one small panel where we see the Green Lantern homeworld and Green Lantern defending themselves. And then, you know... Who drew the second half of this again?
Passerin.
Yeah,
Passerin.
Fernando Passerin probably just went like, he draws people. They drew Guy Gardner.
Whoopsie.
Can we talk Catwoman?
Oh, no. I'm doing this by the order I got these in front of me, all right? Starman. Starman. We're going with Starman next.
Quick, really quick.
Yeah, don't be a pussy.
Something I liked about the Atom issue, I like when he does the exploding Atom maneuver at the end of
the game. Oh, you mean the Atom's like swirling around them, and it's both the compassion and the green energy?
Yeah, it's like a Dragon Ball move, like, jump, jump! Yeah,
I defeat you by powering up.
Yeah, so that's good, that's all I want to say. What's the next one?
Starman, with Elvis Costello on the cover.
This issue's good because it does reference a lot of stuff that happened at the end of the Starman series.
Yes, it does.
And it references parts of Starman. So you either, if you know anything about Starman, it was pretty good. If you don't know anything about Starman, it was a waste of time.
I don't know anything about Starman.
Yes, it was a waste. I mean, I was able to pick up, I didn't finish Starman, but I'm on my way. But I was able to pick up what was going on regardless. But the bit at the end was cool. I mean, it seems ridiculous that Shade can do that. And I like the whole issue, like, are you a good guy or a bad guy? Good guy or bad guy? And honestly, if he's not sure, it makes him a bad guy. Because if you have this kind of ability and you're not using it to, like, you know, help people, you know, your Uncle Ben's going to get killed. That's all I'm going to say.
That doesn't make you evil. That makes you a dick.
Dicks are evil.
Yep.
Not all of them.
Dicks are evil.
Penises are bad. Haven't you heard it?
So, are pussies good?
I did, of course. What the hell?
But dicks like, aren't necessary.
I did not buy this issue. That sucks. I know nothing about Starman. I've heard amazing things about James Robinson's Starman run, but I've dealt nothing with the character beyond Cry for Justice. So I just said F this issue. So enjoy your conversation.
My problem is, what the hell was David Knight doing in Star City? Why was he just ripping cops up? That is completely contrary to what any of the other Black Lanterns are doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
in fact, their whole thing about coming back is they're supposed to go after the people that were closest to them and go straight to them and start fucking with them. Right?
So maybe the city is closest to him.
He knew all those cops really well.
He's like, oh man, I knew all you guys.
And why didn't he go straight for his brother? Why did he go for
cruise for a piece of ass?
Huh?
He's used to cruise for pieces of ass.
Well, exactly. Why does he just like, I'm going to screw with everybody who is close to the guy that I'm closest with, not actually get that guy? I think James Robinson was specifically.
The real reason is he doesn't want to show Jack Knight, but.
Yeah, that's what it's exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool to see the thing that happens at the end is kind of a cool bit. It's just it does kind of, I don't know, with this many powerful characters running around able to destroy these Black Lanterns, it kind of makes them moot as threats.
Was Shade really a big part of Starman?
Who?
Shade.
Yeah, he's a pretty big part of Starman.
All right. I've only read like sparse issues of the Starman run, and not much. I mean, I was picking it up during Final Night. It's Final Night.
Yeah.
Probably was picking it up.
Probably not that long ago.
Yeah, probably was picking it up by Final Night.
There's a couple of Kyle appearances too.
Yeah.
There's a Wesley Dodds appearance that I'm trying to get to.
So, you know, I mean, reading the issue itself, I sort of breezed through it. I mean, I was getting most of the good heads up about it. But it's true. Freaking Starman showed up, just started freaking hosing a bunch of cops for, like, random reasons. He's like, you know what? Sucks to be you right now.
Yeah.
And then when Shade shows up, he's all, and then for whatever reason, Starman's all like, oh my god, Shade. You what are you, good guy or bad guy? She's like, I'm not sure. I'm like, I like fucking that girl over there. You know, I think I might be a good guy, sort of, maybe.
Can I ask a practical question?
Say it.
Why did he steal the star rod to turn it into a battle axe and then never used it again?
I was gonna make a point here. Why was it turned into a battle axe? Is there any indication with the star rod that it was able to turn, you know, do that?
No, he's evil. That's just evil power.
Really?
Big power.
So there's, I mean, has there ever been, ever, at any point, has that thing ever become something of that nature during the Starman run?
I don't remember. I know that the staff is, like, that's not the same staff, that's, like, the old staff. I think he just did it because he's a Black Lantern, he can kind of do that kind of shit.
God, that's worthless.
They do whatever they want, honestly.
Alright, you know. And then, you know, the little bit at the end with the ripping the heart out and the tentacles and the, you know, the thing. That was cool.
The tentacle heart.
Yeah, that was all right. That was decent. I mean, the funny thing about this is, like, I like how most of these one-shots is, like, you know what? Some people find random ways to defeat Black Lanterns, and yet in JSA, people are having so much trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting tricked a lot. The panel is cool. I like that they've been... Because you've seen so much of this, like, Richard Twitt of Earth and Kyle Rayner of Earth Rise, whatever. I like that they're starting to mess with that a little bit. I like the little static thing they did at the end. That was kind of cool. It's a little confusing why the Black Lantern ring says love, but I'm sure that's just a lettering issue. But, yeah. And I didn't like the art. I think the art was...
I didn't really like the art that one.
He obviously pumped his shit out.
All right.
I don't know. I thought they could have... Robinson could have dropped his little thing about Jack Knight, you know, just this once. I don't know.
I like how they mentioned that.
He said if he did bring him back, he wanted to bring him back in more than just like one little mini or one little one shot. He wanted to bring him back something big.
I think they really should have just written the issue as a continuation. Like, there used to be a thing in Starman, for whatever you guys don't know, where he would talk to his brother David every year or whatever, and it was like the Talking with David issue. And he could have just done one of those. David could have come back as a Black Lantern, and they could have had maybe... I mean, everybody else is screwed around with the template. They could have just made it that he wasn't as evil, or they had a big conversation. I mean, that could have been cool. And you could have stuck that in one of the... You could have, like I had said way when this started, like, just stick that at the end of one of the trades, and now you got to reissue a Starman, and that resolves some storylines and stuff.
Well, the only reason there was even... The only one true time that anyone ever completely was not possessed was Osiris.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah,
we'll get there. Yeah. Damn it, Mew. Damn it.
No, but he's making a point.
No, damn it. All right. All right. Black is like Catwoman, Brandon.
Yay.
That's what was next.
This made me want to fucking kill myself.
Really?
I want to fucking kill Wes, too, just for talking what I'm thinking about.
Go for it. Go. Discuss.
I did not have a huge problem with this issue.
This is the worst
let him finish.
Black Lantern, Black Maz was a bit out of character, a bit,
out of character for himself, out of character for himself and out of character for the Black Lanterns. Cause it's like,
Right the whole, I can feel you through the wall thing is very weird. I can feel you running through the wall.
It's like goodbye to the wall.
Wait. Andrew, I just had to say something. What?
And it's like, while the other Black Lanterns are able to do anything with a black ring, same as a green light, they can make constructs, they can fly and stuff. They don't, unless they could previously, for the most part, with a few exceptions. I mean,
oh yes, like the Grayson's always existing magical ability to make a circus tent.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with this issue for the most part because, you know, I enjoyed the Catwoman run. I thought it was an interesting idea to bring her sister back into it, an interesting idea to bring Black Mask. But I mean, it fits. It makes sense. If you're gonna do this, this is the story you need to tell. And this,
I feel like this is something that they're gonna build on. And
yeah, exactly.
Sirens.
Well, I just think this is a wasted opportunity of what they really could have done with it. Because again, this has nothing to do with what was going on in any of the storylines referenced in the Catwoman run. I have enough problems as it is with the Black Mask storyline in Catwoman. Without, you know, this. I mean, this has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with the sister. The sister's catatonic, and yet she's fine, and she has a big discussion with Catwoman. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, it's absurd, you know? And the fact that the way the issue ends is now the sister's going to be wearing a bloody nurse costume running around Gotham? Fuck off. Like, this is – it's – what are we, five? Like, is this 1991 again? Like, that's ridiculous. You know, where's Thunderstrike? You know, this is ridiculous.
This is the DCU.
Why do you have to bring up Thunderstrike for?
The DCU.
I actually like Thunderstrike. I'm just trying to think of like
1991 characters.
Let's talk about A Next. I know you love A Next, Frankie. Yeah,
listen. We're talking about DC here, not Marvel or M2. As
point
it were.
Back is whatever. This is it's ridiculous. This is like comics for idiots. This is and it's
you
so
know what's you know what's really what really gets me also that last bit of dialogue is her after her kind of trying to escape now going like you know what I must kill the demon known as Catwoman.
Oh, and it's like. That's comic book crazy. What psych? What does? What mental disorder does she have? Because she has seven in this issue alone. Like, it's you know you don't become catatonic and mumbling nonsense to.
Oh my god, I'm fine.
Expressing yourself fully to your sister, and then in the next 5 seconds become like a homicidal lunatic. You know.
Well, let's see. Between these events, what happened? She was forced to eat her husband's eyeballs. The man who forced her to do this came back as a zombie trying to kill her. I mean,
it's not the way crazy works. It's not like
there's a handbook.
No, but there's been proven freaking medical facts.
There are hundreds of years of study. Kind of
so and how proven is zombies showing up?
There's actually several handbooks.
Take a psychology class; they'll probably give you a couple of textbooks. Even
are we seriously talking about whether her psychological state is real?
Yeah.
We're reading a story about zombies with superpowers.
Exactly. I took intro to psych. I did not see zombies want to wear all the scars.
You know what I liked half the time? I did like how half the time Black Mass apparently generated like black flowing hair.
You know, I just want to say really quick.
Wait, what?
Suspension disbelief is part of reading any comic. That's true. But you can't suspend it just because Superman flies doesn't mean that, you know, gravity doesn't exist. You know, just because Batman doesn't have a broken back doesn't mean that, you know, he can jump off a building 20 stories, land on his feet, and we're not supposed to ask any questions about it. It's just – it's silly. It's silly. And Black Mask, again, how does he get eaten by a Venus flytrap? He's flying around throwing buildings at people. It's a Venus flytrap. Just punch your way out of it. You know, that's ridiculous. And
well, he was probably already –
it's a leaf.
And Catwoman has no standing in the resolution of this storyline, you know, like – her friend
it's not a resolution. That's the thing. It's building
Black Mask,
upon something.
Though, is a resolution. You know, he's taken out. That's it for him.
It's building up for Gotham City Sirens.
Well, if you got a problem with Black Mask being disintegrated over and over again by an acid,
it wasn't really supposed to be about a resolution about Black Mask, though. He was just kind of incidental to setting up something with the sister for future.
The girl. Exactly.
Yeah, but he's the antagonist in the issue, and the point of the story was what it is. It's a Catwoman dealing with her regrets about murdering Black Mask, it should have been. Most of the time, she just tries to
mostly about the regret to what happened to the sister.
Yeah, I mean, then they turn around with the sister and everything. Yeah, and it even keeps saying repeatedly she feels bad about killing that guy. Well, I remember her not. She didn't turn herself in. She didn't tell Batman about it. How bad could she possibly feel? And she's not even acknowledging the issue. And it's just one of those things.
Well, like, it does. She has that one part where she goes, like, "The only thing I've ever regretted was taking a life," and that was it.
Yeah, and then at the end, the sister says, "Oh, she's such a good person. She actually regretted killing you and stuff like that." You know, and it just Black Mask is obviously a major portion of the Catwoman like storyline now, and this, for all intents and purposes, is the very last time we'll ever see this character active. And he was eaten alive by an acid flowing Venus flytrap. Like, put that in the context of the Ed Brubaker run that we're talking about, this coming, all these storyline points coming out of, and it's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, you can't expect any of these zombie stories to pay homage to anything that came before. You don't expect Vic Sage to be taking down some drug smuggler in the next question issue, or
but I do
you don't
expect some kind of reference to his ideologies and stuff. And the Power of Shazam issue, I think, is perfect.
I expect a reference to Orange Sox.
No, I agree with Eric. I do expect, you know, references to things that came before and actually acknowledge, you know, and try to resolve these things that actually came before it.
Because now this issue officially cheapens Black Mask for me, because I like Black Mask as a villain a lot. I was disappointed when they killed him.
Well, it doesn't affect the other Black Masks, the one.
But they're different Black Masks. That's the problem. It's not even the same.
Dude, I can barely understand what's going on.
Let's not get on Tony Dan.
Yeah, I mean, Power Shazam, I think, is a good example of using the black.
Wait. And with that, I have the Power Shazam actually in front of me. That was actually next. So go.
Oh well, this is actually a good example of using Blackest Night to tell a story that's intrinsic to the mythology of the characters involved in the actual one shots. This is not a continuation of the Power Shazam series at all, but I think it actually goes out of its way. I mean, I don't know. This is probably, I want to say, my favorite of all the one-shots. It's self-contained. It develops the character in a certain way. This actually, if you follow what's going on Shazam, this really adds to it and gives a resolution for several characters. You know, I think this is actually pretty good.
Actually, I agree with Eric. It was actually a book that, after reading most of these other ones that came before it, I was surprised by. I was really surprised by. I actually enjoyed Eric Wallace's freaking writing here. It was be honest, it was, you know, I was expecting something completely different, and I was surprised by it. So it resolved Yosiris' character when he existed during the whole, you know, during that what was it again? 52. Yeah, during 52, and I enjoyed 52. So, you know, when you're seeing this character brought back, seeing Sobek brought back, seeing that whole little conflict between them, seeing that, you know, Yosiris was in fact in complete control of his character, which is completely not what every other Black Lantern that we've seen, you know, like. And
they give a little explanation.
Yeah, sort of.
It makes sense in the context, but no, yeah, you're right.
When his sacrifice at the end of the issue occurred, I was like, this was good. This is a perfect end for it. This is exactly how is a great end for this for that book.
For the character, and I think.
The kicker is the people that you know are there at the end that see him sacrifice himself.
Right.
Yeah, and I think this could have been a not Blackest Night issue, and there could have been any explanation for him to come back. And what this really did was took advantage of the crossover to give a story that helped. I mean, whether or not you really really like this story, it went out of its way to give legitimate resolution to the people who were like following this story and to the actual story itself. You know. And I think it works because this is a character that no one really ever asked to see again. This is a storyline no one ever really wanted to revisit again. But I, as someone who was like this storyline, I appreciated the resolution.
Mm-hmm. Now let me tell you why it does not work.
And now let me be an asshole.
No, it's fine.
I don't care for the characters, so it has absolutely no meaning upon me.
No love for the Black Marvel family?
Not really. I respect it, but it came off extremely cheesy. It was predictable from start to finish. Let me take that back. It was predictable from three quarters of the book was just predictable. Yeah. The only shock was that he actually stayed sane through the through the whole book. Take that away from the issue, and I'll forget about it next week.
Yeah, like, but I mean that is such an important part of the issue, right. And that's what really makes it so different than all the other crossovers.
Because you can't really take it away from the issue. You take away the book.
But that's actually why I like it so much, because he stayed in character the whole time. You know, he didn't.
Yeah, I think it would be predictable because the way it's set up at the beginning, it's like, when's he gonna snap? It's gonna happen, and then it doesn't. So it's. Different,
but that's
and
not,
he does snap
it,
for a
yeah,
minute.
It's different,
when
but
gets
it's
angry,
not,
huh?
Yeah, for a second, but
really. To me, it's like okay, oh that's cool. Now what? Oh, now he gets to fight. Oh, and now he rips a heart out. Oh, they cry for them.
Only thing I'm a little bit fuzzy on is why was Solbeck trying to pull out his heart? But
because you know,
he still had emotions.
Because it still worked the same way the other ones worked.
The unique power he had was holding his emotions and soul in check, rather than just letting him just completely go off in the crazed Black Lantern out of control dead way.
Would his heart have actually helped Necron rise?
The funny thing is,
it seems like it would be awesome.
But then wouldn't it just regrow and he can pull out again and again and again?
It'd be like Ronnie Raymond with the whole infinite swap thing.
Yeah, I think it's like magic hard pulling. I also liked how this storyline is a direct reference to the actual storyline of Sobek and Osiris. Yeah. How he like gets in his trust, uses that hope and compassion, like. It's actually like it's cool. It's like a little epilogue to the character.
Yeah. The thing is, I can see how this book, this issue itself will probably be referenced whenever they decide to go back to the Marvel family. Eventually, because Osiris's power came from Black Adam, and he just gave that power up. So that power has to go somewhere.
Yeah. Or they can never talk about this again, which is also why this is. I mean, almost a perfect sequential comic for that in itself. You know, that the storyline ends by itself, and if you really want, you can go somewhere else with it, but you never have to read another comic featuring any of the characters in the Black Adam family, and this would be an okay ending for it.
Yep.
You know? Well, I mean, depending on how you feel about it, obviously. But yeah.
And with that...
Secret Six?
No, Suicide Squad, because that one goes first.
Oh, yeah.
So Suicide Squad 67.
I think I enjoyed it. I don't remember it much.
75 years ago.
Thousands of years ago.
I remember being very disappointed in it because it didn't have that same feel. And with Ostrander being on this issue, I expected that feel. But then again, you know, most writers lose that touch after a certain age. But I was expecting that feel. And the only thing that I remember being happy about, or rather enjoy, was the Deadshot getting shot part.
What? Yingxing? What? That girl?
He gets shot all the time.
No, he gets...
But Jagged
get,
Flag.
A flag. Yeah. He always gets shot. You can't go an issue without that man being shot in the chest at one point.
I have the power to survive being shot by bullets.
Yeah, it's me, and that's her name. I said Yingxing. I'm sick.
Oh, yeah. This is another example of, I think, somebody really using the concept of Blackest Night well. I mean, well, I think actually overall the two issues together ended up kind of being a little disappointing because you don't see enough undead suicide guys really getting involved in the story. But I think the idea of using Secret Six and the Suicide Squad, which are obviously akin because they're both supervillains books and also both have a legion of dead characters in their wake, you can really get a lot going here. And I think it's cool. I just think they could do a little bit more, but I really did like it. It's just a little bit of a waste of potential. So my favorite bit in the whole thing was the second issue was the Bronze Tiger Catman fight. It was pretty good.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay, well, sticking on Suicide 67.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what you were laughing at, but it's fine.
He saw Babbitt near his house or something. He's
crazy.
Done with emotion.
Alice in Wonderland. I thought it was a waste. Speaking as somebody who has not read the Secret Six issue, I thought it was a waste in the first issue because, you know, I expected Amanda Waller to come out and be right in the middle of everything, like, all right, troops, take them down. I wanted a big Suicide Squad versus Secret Six versus whatever's left of the Suicide Squad and Checkmate to be just one big three-way battle. I didn't get none of that. In fact, the Black Lanterns, what was it, Fiddler? He was the worst part of the issue. And it didn't feel like Suicide Squad. It didn't feel like a supervillain book. It wasn't even funny. It was just boring action. That's all I got.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for the fact that, you know, there was pretty much no Black Lantern in that first issue. That's in Suicide Squad 67. There was nothing. I got no Black Lanterns, but yet I was intrigued by the fact that, you know, it was the chance meeting between the Suicide Squad and Secret Six. You know, two supervillain groups that both have you know, the craziness of their of the, you know, two villainous factions that, you know, one is being commanded by Amanda Waller, the other one's going, like, you know, we're a bunch of mercenaries now. And just to see their interaction, just to see, you know, them having to go up against each other was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. Anyway, again, I like Simone's writing. Ostrander was cool, I guess. He should have been on the, he's, you know, whoever the hell we had last time who said they were going to be on this podcast, damn it.
Ostrander.
He was supposed to be here. Anyway.
Yes, he was.
You know, going into Secret Six, you know, Secret Six number 17, I like the fight between Catman and Bronze Tiger. That was a good fight, as Eric was trying to, you know, point out earlier.
Yeah, Simone's good for, like, really, she's good for, I think her action is really solid. I think she understands what fans want to see, and she acknowledges it pretty readily.
Oh, yeah, also like the whole Bane and Vandal Savage angle. I like that.
Vandal Savage was.
Scandal Savage. My mistake. Sorry.
Well, I was gonna say the Nightshade Bane fight was pretty good too, because it's another kind of thing where she's making a point to build up a character, Nightshade, who could be cool, isn't cool, and making her cool by having her kind of trash Bane.
Bane was like, "Why don't you fall? Did you punch me? I didn't feel it."
It's the kind of thing where it's like they make her good by making him look bad, but not really. Really bad, you know.
He's still there.
Like, I'm ineffectual against your shadow magic, almost, but you're not really doing anything to me.
It almost helps him in a way, because it's like, yeah, you can't do much about her shadow magic, but he's still holding his own kind of thing. But
I did like how Count Vertigo shows up. He's all like,
while demonstrating their power.
Count Vertigo shows up, downs Bane, but it isn't like Bane's taken down by fear or inability. He's just taken down by pure rage, apparently.
Oh, yeah, when they make him see the Batman screaming at him.
You are worthless, Bane. You will always be worthless.
That's Count Vertigo with the power to make you slightly dizzy.
That's pretty much straight, straight out of the Vengeance of Bane special that first introduced him.
Sometimes Bane is pathologically afraid of Batman. Sometimes he doesn't care.
Yeah. that's what started it all. He started to have dreams about bats and Batmans.
Bane was cured, which Infinite Crisis didn't seem to care about. Bane was cured of all his hostility.
That held up.
Until Infinite Crisis, he was breaking Juno Master's back, and then they had to explain it, so then they just stuck him
in the safe bit, story. Yes, just that one bit in Infinite Crisis where Jeff decided, I want Bane in there just to make things complete and have him break someone's back, because that's his thing. Isn't that his thing?
I read that somewhere one time.
At least in this issue, Bane didn't seem too bad about the rage.
It's kind of like that Dr. Light rape.
He's kind of like a weird father figure.
I'm a huge Bane fan. I have every one of his appearances. Like, I love that arc in
Sucks to Be You.
When he he's had some awesome story arcs. What was that?
Bane's actually been pretty well developed.
What's that arc where he went with where Bruce set him up with a lot of money so he can go?
Oh, he thinks
him.
He's
oh yeah, he's but he's what yeah, yeah. he thinks his father had
and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Thinks his father had an affair. He's like, it might have happened.
Yeah, no, I think that was a bit of a ridiculous storyline, but it worked for what was going on with the character. And I mean, I know it's Green Lantern, shouldn't go too far into it, but actually Bane is a pretty good character in terms of Batman villains. He's unique amongst Batman villains because he's not just like, I'm going to smash your face. Like, it's, you know, he's got all kinds of angles going on. So I wish he was on Venom still, but, you know, whatever.
Every once in a while he seems to be lately.
Yeah, every time they forget.
He forgets he gave it up cold turkey.
There's a good story there in Secret Six. One time he really, really had to take the Venom. Like, he's got pills now, but he only pops them for emergencies.
Yeah, and as somebody who doesn't
pills
really follow,
for justice.
Yeah, as somebody who doesn't really follow Secret Six, the white-haired woman that was the Silver Banshee in this issue, is she Silver Banshee, or is she just, like, afflicted with the same issues?
Same issues, different girl.
Okay, yeah.
So she's another girl that was cursed by the same Celtic family?
It needs the same seven runes or whatever the deal is.
What's going on here?
Whatever this new story is in Supergirl.
That's beyond me.
Yeah. I actually like the new story in Supergirl. I think it's cool.
I'm glad it's over, so.
not a Silver Banshee fan?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things where Superman's only got five bad guys, so you gotta do something.
True.
And it's nice to see a character, some DC allowing somebody to revamp a villain that isn't Geoff Johns. So.
Well, and moving on to the last one that we have, and the baby, the Dan DiDio special here.
Is this the last one?
Yeah.
Really?
Weird Western Tales number 71.
Time flies and you're talking about crap.
This made me want to kill somebody.
wait, let me finish here. While Black as Night, Weird Western Tales, Jonah Hex, Skate a Scalp Hunter, Super Chief, Firehair, and Batlash. Rise.
I would like to beat the Catwoman issue to death with this issue. Like, if I can.
Oh man. Damn. Oh, yes, no.
Are we Batlash?
Dance, everyone, for Dan DeDio's issue here. Dan DeDio wanted to bring this back special.
Batlashing us into a frenzy? Yeah, it was terrible. I don't know. Hey, Mew, what do you think?
Did anyone else feel like it was like a childhood fulfillment kind of a thing?
So, you know what? It couldn't have been, because an old child would want to see their greatest issues that they missed so much be brought back in this way.
In this, like, completely inconsequential way that had nothing to do with Western heroes, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like a fan fiction writer finally getting that big break, and then they got all these reviews on their fanfic, and then they get the big break, and it sucks.
That's so we're talking about Jeff Johns again?
No, I didn't have too much problem with it. I thought the story was terrible, and Jonah Hex's role in it was just ridiculous. But I really like the art. I don't think it was bad dialogue. So I can't really blame DeDio for writing the character. I just think he didn't plan this out too well.
I think the dialogue is kind of weak as hell. I think the first couple pages are just like really hard to get through. And too many characters are like, it's like that movie Avatar. All the characters are explaining to the characters what's going on in the movie as opposed to trying to work it intrinsically into the dialogue at all.
No, I thought it was more like a Western look at it, or what do I want to say? A throwback to whenever this era was, when the series was out. I thought he was trying to capture that, and it got that... I wouldn't call it pokey. You know, in the Silver Age where they had the boxes explained 10 minutes later, and then this happened, and this. I felt he was doing that without the boxes in the dialogue, so it wasn't too much of a problem for me. The only thing I had a problem with was again and again and again, a new way to beat a Black Lantern. Again and again and again, this is what you got to do to save the day. Like, who comes up with this? Like, and frankly, I don't think this should have happened. I'm not sure when this takes place. I don't, and it's just like, why bother with the, exactly. So why bother? What was I about to say? The moment where he pushes the chick through the door, best moment of any of these tie-ins. That was hilarious. I thought my jaw dropped. I said, oh, that's messed up.
I think they play him as kind of a scumbag the whole issue. I don't think there's a lot of dimension to his character. He's obviously the guy that, like, you know, doesn't care about progress and is set in his ways and is going to be dead by the end of the issue after learning some kind of lesson. But I don't think he even learns a lesson.
Yeah, I knew as soon as he did that he was dead.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think this is another failed opportunity of what to do with characters. This could have been a really, really cool
issue. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell happened to the Ray.
How come every time a DC character is going to kill a room full of guys, he always says burn? And he always says it like he's the only guy who ever said it.
He probably heard it from the last guy who died. He was like, you know what?
As Super Chief is getting burned, he's like, I said that last week.
Burn!
I'm just happy that the Ray got some spotlight after Final Crisis. I didn't expect to see him for like another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So him popping up in some random Western tale was like, oh, that's cool.
And the South shall rise again.
Yeah, I hope they make him like Phantom Stranger. He only shows up during events to do something important, and that's it.
So why didn't we do much importance here?
Well, he burned.
he burned Super Chief.
He burned.
Burned Super Chief and about probably like 3 Confederates and some like 4 Indians.
Why? Okay, are all the Western characters buried in the same cemetery that was really near this? Why were all the Western guys going for this particular artifact?
Wait, what?
How come? Are they the only superheroes in, I guess it's the same state? Because why was every single character that was a DC Western hero doing this?
I don't know. I think
maybe they all died in the same.
Well, it was the same book.
It was It was
why
explained.
Why did they bring it back? They have no emotional
connection.
It was explained
that they're all...
Yeah, there was a giant massacre, so many of
them. It was explained that they were all buried there in the story.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess.
If Jonah Hex dies somewhere else in the Jonah Hex books and buried somewhere else...
We've already seen how Jonah Hex dies. He dies in like 1902 playing cards or something.
Yeah,
so the stories I've been told.
Yeah.
Something like
that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was pre-Infinite Crisis.
Doesn't count.
Infinite Crisis changes all the rules.
The only thing that doesn't count is Hex. I mean, the actual series Hex.
Hex, where he goes in the future, yeah.
Yeah.
I just like, what are the characters doing there? They have no emotional connection to anybody.
Nope.
They all have been dead for hundreds of years. I mean, maybe Jonah Hex might have met Batman. I can't quite remember, but why doesn't he fuck with Batman then?
He met Booster Gold.
Yeah, why ain't he fucking with Booster Gold?
Fuck with Booster. Go mess up Booster Gold's house like everybody else.
Damn it. I just fixed it after Beatles.
Thanks a lot, Jonah.
It's like, oh man, that was my fish tank.
I did like when Hex showed up. He has the ring on his left hand, apparently. Which is unlike any other Black Lantern.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I kind of like that he saved Hex for last, because it's like you're waiting for him. You're waiting for him.
Yeah, he's the one.
He's the big guy. He's the one
Western character you really care about.
I'm glad he wasn't overused. I found the issue somewhat clever in some ways, and he didn't really... There was a lot of things he kind of squandered, but I enjoyed it for the most
part. Apparently, no one went for hearts.
He didn't do too bad considering he hasn't written an extreme amount of whole issues himself.
He's written enough.
No one really went for hearts in this issue.
He wrote,
Dan DiDio started as a writer, I think. Didn't he write like a bunch of Superboys for a couple years and stuff like that?
He wasn't a writer when he started working at DC.
I know his claim to fame is that he wrote Superboy for a while.
It's like half a year.
Yeah, Sculpt. Yes.
No, he stinks. Like his he's everything he's written. He wrote the Metal Men. I don't think it's like a style of writing. I think he's just not very good at writing. I don't know. I mean, other stuff I've seen him write, like the Metal Men.
Scoutmaster was the only guy who took a heart.
Huh?
Scoutmaster. Scout Hunter. Scout Hunter. My mistake. Sorry. Hunter was the only guy who actually took a heart. Oh, and Batlash tried to rape that girl and then take a heart. We'll see it, though.
I think there was a funny line in there, too. I forget what it was.
Well, when Batlash?
When he's about to do that. Yeah.
He says, give me a second.
I'll do something and then take your...
Yeah, give me a second. He says, well, now, darling, if you're not going to give me your heart, then I guess I am going to have to take it. That's what he says. Yeah.
It was funny the first time.
It's funny the first time. He says, ah, now, why are you crying, darling? A pretty young thing like you shouldn't be losing her heart over some coward? Not when you can be giving it to someone as fine as Batlash himself. That's what he says.
Yeah, see, now I think about it, I feel like the word coward was like used like a million times during that issue.
Coward?
You're yellow.
Yellow.
You're yellow.
Yellow.
Yellow belly coward.
No, he mentions mass graves, but he doesn't mention like mass graves, including all the superheroes of the 200 years leading to the Western expansion. Yeah, he specifically, yeah, whatever. It's just very, stupid.
Everyone gets a little convenient.
Like, why do they want that ring so bad? It's fine.
A little convenient, but I can
and why do they talk to whatever? I don't know. It wasn't that good. I really wish they would have done an anthology. That would have been really cool.
Yeah,
I suppose anthology would have been good.
Get anybody, you know, this could have been the standout. You know, they could have been like, hey, Grant Morrison, could you give us 3 pages? Hey, Greg Rucka, could you give us 3 pages? Like everybody involved, give us 3 pages, and that's all you got to do. And they could have had this would have been the one everybody's like, oh yeah, Black as Night's kind of like 10 years. Black as Night was some dumb shit, but remember that weird Western Tales? That was pretty classic.
Right, you know, like, back, never to be seen again.
I got to admit, I've never really been a fan of any of the weird Western folks, but. When I saw the ad for all the tie-ins this month, I was like, yeah, you know what? I bet Weird Western Tales, that could be a lot of fun. That seemed to have the most potential to me. And it wasn't totally bad. I still enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of cool. But,
I mean, they're like all those people to Western actually come back. Right?
I think you could take all the weird Western characters and the Black as Night characters. I think actually if you took them out of the story would actually make sense. But with them in there, the story doesn't even make any sense. It's like you wrote a story, then stuck them in there, and the story doesn't make any sense.
It's weird to me that, you know, you saw Stag try to dissect Black Lantern Ring for whatever reason you think you're going to dissect the Black Lantern Ring to, like, you know, try to harness some sort of power source. Western guy who's stuck in his way is going, you know what, I created all this stuff for myself. I designed all this. I'm going to use my grand technology to reverse engineer this ring. The Ray shows up going, like, I'm just here to deliver this thing. I have no idea why I'm here. And then the zombie breakup.
Yeah, and Simon Stagg, too, I mean, you know, I've complained about it before. I don't like this DC's, like, fetishizing of the Silver Age. Like, who cares that Simon Stagg, you know? Like, isn't he, like, I thought he was retired or invalid or something.
I think that's before Infinite Crisis.
It was an injustice that Superboy Prime fixed.
Damn.
Superboy Prime, a.k.a. Jeff Johns.
Retcon, as Guhan would say. Or Jeffcon, as Guhan would say.
Yeah, I guess, and Simon Stagg, I don't know, I remember him being super evil. I know he shows up in, like, Countdown to Infinite Crisis, and he's talking to Maxwell Lord and stuff, and that's, like, the last time I remember him. Anyway.
Well, those were it.
Well, what do you guys say from the, best one?
Standout. Yeah, what would be the standout of all these issues?
Power of Shazam.
Huh?
Power of Shazam.
Yeah, I gotta say Power of Shazam was the best one.
Power of Shazam for two? Wes?
I wanna say Catwoman.
Catwoman for West. Andrew.
Yeah. I give it to Power of Shazam.
Power of Shazam gets it all around except for West, because I give it also for Power of Shazam.
Shazam.
What about the worst?
I like the question.
Yeah. The question was awesome.
The question has not let me down yet.
So good you could read it in the future.
Be sure to visit thegreenlanterncorps.com, where you can find the latest news, reviews, interviews on all things Green Lantern. While you're there, check out the message boards and interact with us and other friends. Be sure to send us any hate or love mail at the contact@glspotlight.com. You can also find our YouTube channels at youtube.com/glspotlight, youtube.com/neildoublebane, and youtube.com/kuhan. Not to mention, you can also follow half of the cast via Twitter at twitter.com/glspotlight, twitter.com/kuhan, and twitter.com/conscienceb. Also, check out Ryan's blog at www.glspotlight.com.
Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps are properties of DC Comics and do not reflect the authenticity of this podcast.
Tell a thousand years ago, green fire so hot. A carving and a man and a superman, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure. He got his green from Arkansas. He fought all the evil hordes, and he's the real one, Hal Jordan. Green Lantern! Green Lantern!
Their little
there is
nuggets
no beef.
Are like salt squares.
What you know about chicken?
What do you know about chicken?
I have a box of Popeyes sitting in my bed.
I don't mean Jack.
That's embarrassing.
Definitely get a lot more listeners if we had Gail Simone as a regular.
Well, that's not going to happen, but I mean...